Okay, last week we got down to a point in Matthew 24 where Jesus changes subjects. Remember, the key verse that we've talked about in Matthew 24 is verse 34. So let's go back in Matthew 24 and read verse 34. Matthew 24, 34. Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Jesus in verse 35 emphasizes the fact that what he said is going to take place. Now, he had just predicted and talked about the devastation of Jerusalem and the temple and all that was going to happen to Judaism. And he said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, and of course it will one day, but he says, what I'm going to say will take place. There's no way around it. In other words, what he said was going to happen is going to happen. And it did happen. Back by the end, by AD 70, it had happened. So within four decades of Jesus' words in Matthew 24, that had happened. And so all of those things, you know, this Jerusalem and the temple and Judaism and all of that had been destroyed. All of it. And it was because he said, my words will by no means pass away. And he said, this generation, the people to whom he's talking, would see those things take place. And of course they did. They saw all of the horrible things that happened, and they heard about the things that happened to Jerusalem and the Jewish people and all of that. And I want to point out, before we go to verse 36, something that's very significant. Now, if we look back at the first part of this chapter, well, do we just point out some of the places that talk about it? Let's see. Read a few verses. I'm trying to think of some that talk about it. Okay, like verse 19. Talks about woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Let's see. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Let's see. I don't know how many that was, three or four, that talk about days. Things that's going to happen in those days. Plural. Every time it's talked about, it's in the plural. Until you get to verse 36. And he changes. This is just one of the indications that he's changing subjects. One of the indications he's changing subjects. Verse 36. But of that day, singular, and hour, singular, no one knows. No one knows. It's interesting that when you look at the New Testament, there's always a distinction about when Jesus comes, His final coming, the end of the world, the second coming, whatever you want to call it, it's talked about as a day, like that day or the day. Not talked about in the plural. All right, let's just look at a few of those. Let's see. Matthew 7, verse 22. Someone will read that for us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. All of these we're going to read primarily are in Matthew, but there's lots of other ones too. Matthew 7, verse 22.
Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did you not in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?
Okay, there's one instance in the early ministry of Jesus where he's talking there, of course, about the day of judgment when you look at the context. And he's saying what? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, when? On that day. On that day. Well, here's another one. Let's go to chapter 11, verse 22. And this is a very significant point, and that's why I want to spend some time going over it. Matthew 11, 22. Would someone read that for us? Matthew chapter 11, verse 22. Okay. Another reference to the day of judgment. Again, that's what the context is in Matthew chapter 11. It's going to be a day of judgment. Same thing in verse 24. It talks about the day of judgment. It's never called the days of judgment. It's always singular, the day of judgment. Whereas when Jesus was talking in Matthew 24, first part of that chapter, he's always talking about days. In those days, this is going to happen. Just one indication, again, that there are two distinct time periods talked about in Matthew 24. There's other indications as well, but that's one of them. Let's look at some places other than Matthew. Let's see. And this is going to go back to days where it's talking about before and not talking about the day of judgment. Hebrews chapter 1. We won't take too much time, but I do want to look at a few of these. Hebrews chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, notice what he says. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past through the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days. That's not talking about the end of the world. That's talking when Jesus came. The beginning of when Jesus came. Spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. That's not a single day, is it? That started when Jesus came and began His ministry. And, of course, continued on. Just one place. And again, we could read many, many of them. But when you look at the New Testament, when you see the judgment day, the second coming of Christ, the end of the world, it's always the day or the day of judgment or on that day or in that day. Talks about the end of the world. So back in Matthew 24, notice again how he changes subjects in verse 36. And here's another clue that he's changing a subject. He's gone from those days to that day and hour, specific time, very specific time. He says, no one knows. Now, what has he been doing in the prior verses? Giving them what? Warnings and signs, right? He's been giving them signs. These things will happen, and then this will happen. Now he says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Well, obvious change of subject here. He had just told them, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, the time is near. Get out. There's a sign. But now he says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. And he says there's not going to be any signs. Yes.
And that's something that strikes me. These people are predicting a particular day. And he goes on there to say that not even the angels of heaven know the signs.
Yeah. It, very specific, isn't it?
They don't even know what that day is. Yeah, we've got smart people on the earth who can figure out tell you what day it's going to be.
Yep. And you know, they've missed every one of them. And that's been going on for a very long time. Oh, well, apparently, yeah, they will. Yeah, very, very specific, isn't it? Very specific. And it goes back to one of those things when you start with a false idea, okay, some false premise, that's what I was trying to say. When you start with a false premise, it doesn't make any difference what you do with it. You're going to end up with some false conclusions. There's no way around it. And that's what happens with some of the things we've talked about in the past, like the first part of Matthew 24, when you start with the false premise that it is the end of the world he's talking about, you have all kinds of things that you have to manipulate to force it into that conclusion. but if you take it as it's read and look for indications, like the difference between days being plural and day singular, and also, I was going to mention another indicator. Verse 36 starts with what? But. Now he sees he's been talking about one subject. Now he says, but. Now I'm going to answer some of your other questions. Remember, this all started with some questions the apostles were asking about the end and when he would come and all of that. Well, he answered, if we go back to the very beginning of the chapter, verse 3, see, the disciples came to him saying, tell us, when will these things be? Jesus had said, talking about the temple, that it'd be destroyed, wouldn't be one stone left upon another. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And of course, they all thought, obviously, that was going to be the same time. But he's showing them that it's not the same time. In other words, the temple's going to be destroyed at a far different time than the end of the world and when I would come again. He said, that's going to be two different times.
when he died, buried, and resurrected, the spiritual temple was destroyed right then. But we have people that look at the physical destruction of the temple, what he was talking about. Well, in event it does physically destroyed.
Yep.
But when he was gone.
It was gone, and there was no more Judaism.
That's why the 3 days that he told them, he could tear it down and build it back in 3 days. even today, people still look at it the same way. That
sure.
He was talking about the physical temple being destroyed.
And that's what people still want, don't they? They're still wanting that. They're still wanting a physical temple and something concrete that you can actually see with your eyes and touch and walk in and all of that. And they're still looking for that. Well, I'm sorry. Being out, see, I haven't taught school hardly all week, so I've not talked much. Other than yelling at the kids, that's the only thing I've been doing. Man, my throat's not doing too great. Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie.
That's all right. time is the missing element in eternity. That's obvious.
Right. Mine either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a high-speed thing if it happens in 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Is time going to be suspended while all of this happens and just seen as a day? Or?
I guess time is going to be no more. I guess that's the best way I can think. See y'all. Yeah, right. There's no.
It's already been set and done.
Yeah.
When you die,
that's a good point, too. That's it.
Right there.
Yeah, there's no.
Really
no pleading your case, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't understand the concept of no time. You know, that's just so far beyond our comprehension that we can't even begin to imagine, you know, because God doesn't even live in a realm of time. I mean, he's timeless. And we just cannot. I know I can't even begin to imagine what timelessness is. Can't even imagine what that's like. Yes.
That's your third hour class.
Yeah. It seems to go on. That 40-some minutes is at least 4 or 5 hours long every day. Very true. So he's wanting, after he's told them that, you know, Jerusalem's going to be surrounded and that's the sign to get out. But he said time's going to go on after that. Remember, he had told them that because he said there's not going to be a worse persecution or tribulation after that in time. So time would go on after Jerusalem was destroyed. And they would have, the Jewish people have a hard time believing that. You know, that would be hard for them to take, to think that, wow, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed and the temple gone. That's got to be the end of the world. And Jesus says, no, it's not. It's not the end of the world. Time's going to go on. But now he says there is going to come a point when this world is done. And that's what he's going to tell them about. And he says, you can't even, an angel's not even going to be able to tell you that time. And people have alleged that angels have told them those things. Well, Jesus says angels, they don't know. So if an angel tells you, that's a false angel. That's a dark angel, I guess. But not a real one in the sense of knowing, because they don't know. Angels don't know that. So I think he's starting to tell them here, and a lesson that people have not learned is, don't be looking for things at the end of the world. Because we're going to see in a minute that Jesus says, when I come again and the world ends, everything's going to be going on just like normal. Not going to be anything different. It's not going to be some dark time or anything. It's just people's going to be doing normal old stuff. Might be today, might not be today. It's just going to be normal day. Normal day, regular day. He says, in talking about, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he explains it in verse 38. For as in the days before the flood, what were they doing? They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. What was happening? Did the world come to a stop or anything miraculous happened before? Nope. They were just doing ordinary, everyday things. And he says that's exactly the way it's going to be before the end of time, before the coming of Christ. People just going to be doing whatever. You know, when Christ comes, whatever day that is, what are people going to be doing? Some's going to be eating, some's going to be drinking, some's going to be getting married. Just everyday stuff. There's no sort of special time period before Christ comes. So whatever people think something special is going to happen, Jesus says, no, it's not. It's going to be just regular old life. Regular old life. And there's a reason for that, right? There's a reason. Because he wants them to always be prepared. Think about how many times in the Bible we're told to watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. Be prepared. And of course, Jesus tells some other parables here later about the same thing. No signs. Don't even be looking for them because there aren't going to be any. God's not going to send any signs whatsoever to you. So you just be ready. Because life's going to be going on just like normal. And verse 39, did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Not going to be any, you know, some teach that there's going to be some great period that all the Jewish people are going to come to believe in Christ and they're going to be saved. It's not what this says. Not what it says at all. Matter of fact, it indicates just the opposite. Okay, not just here, but you know, through much of the book of Romans, that's what Paul is trying to get across to the people. God doesn't have any special plan for the Jews anymore. And what I can't figure out, people go to Romans to show that there is. The book of Romans is saying there's not. It's all about Christ, Jew or Gentile. Doesn't make any difference. They're all going to be saved the same way. Yes.
All of a sudden, it would be really funny for God to allow the Jews to not believe in His Son until right before the world, and then all of a sudden, they're going to believe in Him.
Yeah.
Why would He want to?
Yeah, that it's.
That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. Yes, Charlie.
The scripture I think applies to the Jewish nation, and that is,
That's right. Very good point. That's right. Yes, C.L.
Might be kind of a silly analogy. We all know who the last servant was, because he was at the TV compared to where he set the TV signal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That sign is given you that you have to find prepare for.
Yeah.
Well, here, God put a sign, okay, on the end of the world in 3001 at 2 a.m. in the morning. Well, right prior to that, you're going to have a line of people trying to get in to be ready.
Yep.
That's what he's saying here. You got to be ready all the time.
That's right.
You don't know, I don't know.
Yep. That's right. Exactly. And that's the point that, and several of the writers of the New Testament emphasize that over and over. Be watchful. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the first like 10 or 12 verses talk about that very thing about being ready and watching and being careful because you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. It's going to come. Certain indications are when you least expect it. You're going to be surprised. He says like a thief. No warning, nothing. He's going to come, and that's it. So don't be looking for any signs. So there isn't going to be any sort of mass conversion of the Jews or anybody right before it. Because he says it's going to be just like the days of Noah. Was there a mass conversion of people before Noah? No, there was hardly anybody. You know, a handful. So it says it's going to be just like normal days. No indication. And he says to show this, look, there's going to be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. What were they doing? Ordinary, everyday stuff. What did men and women in the first century do? Well, there were men in the field working. There were women grinding. Guess what? At the end of time, people are going to be doing ordinary stuff. People will be working. They'll be going to school. They'll be in the field. They'll be working on cars. They're just going to be doing their normal everyday stuff. And that's what's going to happen. So you're not going to be able to look out and say, okay, everybody's stopped working. Uh-oh, this must be the end. Nope. It says it's going to be just regular stuff. Some will be saved. Some won't be. So there's the warning, verse 42. Watch. Watch. Therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. That says it all, doesn't it, C.L.? I mean, could that be any clearer? Is there any way you or I could write that verse any clearer so that people would know that you don't know when Christ is coming? I don't think there's any way to make that more straightforward. Yeah, it's one of the most misunderstood things in the world. It just totally ignores the point Jesus is trying to make. He says, don't wait until you see a sign because there's not going to be any. So you just watch. Yes.
I think there is what you're saying. That day is important. Today is important to take care of today. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Be ready.
When that day comes,
you don't have to worry about it. That's right. If you're ready for Christ to come today, then if he does or doesn't come, either way, that's fine. But don't try and think, well, I've got 5 years to get ready for Christ. No, you don't. So be ready today. If he doesn't come today, then make sure you're ready tomorrow. If he doesn't come tomorrow, make sure you're ready the day after. And he just wants people to be ready. That's really what he's wanting people to know. Yes?
Yeah, well, the trouble with planning to build a bigger barn is you don't know
when
you're going to have
time. You sure don't. Well, he made that clear with that guy, didn't he? You don't know that. You have no idea. So he wants you always to be ready. So he gives an illustration of what he's talking about, verse 43. He says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Isn't that the way it is today? If you get a letter in the mail from a thief, I'm going to be there 10:30 Tuesday night. That wouldn't be a good thief. He wouldn't be around very long. But that's what he's saying, right? If you knew beforehand when the thief was coming, you'd be waiting for him. Okay? But he says that's not the case. Therefore, you also be ready. See, he says it again, then just a slightly different way. You also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You do not expect. So again, no signs. You can't look at the world and say, well, these are the times. I can tell by looking out in the world, this is it. These are the times. I remember it was back probably 10, 15 years ago, there was a book written by a well-known premillennialist about the end of time and when it was going to come. And it was all detailed in there when it was going to happen. And I don't remember what the book cost. He wrote a book about it. And I don't remember what it cost. But after that date came, you could get that book cheap. Very cheap, yes.
These are the signs.
Yeah, sure.
Because if our economy is going bad, this thing is bad. Well, those things that keep out here, our economy is going bad.
That's right.
Leaders and all that sort of thing. So,
yep.
You know,
the people are just always looking for signs, you know. They're just always looking for them.
That book would mean many now living will never die.
No, it was something about Armageddon and oil. I don't remember, but I know what book you're talking about. Yeah. 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 There's a lot of books that people have put out like that they wish weren't out there. Have predicted the date here and then there and then there and there. I can't imagine how many different dates have been predicted. Oh, I mean, it would just be unreal. They've all been wrong. Every one of them. So he says, you know, be ready. You don't know when he's coming, just like the thief doesn't give you advance warning about when he's going to be there, and Jesus doesn't either. No advance warning. So he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. See, he wants us to be faithful. And he doesn't tell us to be perfect that whole time, because you know that's not possible. But he says to be faithful every day, so that when he does come, he'll find you being faithful. You've prepared or you've been prepared and you're ready, because you've known that there aren't any signs and you don't know when he's going to come. So the faithful servant, the faithful steward, continues to be ready. He's ready today. If it doesn't come today, he's going to be ready tomorrow. And that's how he lives his whole life. Not in fear, oh no, I'm not going to be ready. That's how he lives his whole life. I'm ready. I'm going to do my very best today. And knowing that this might be the day. I have no idea, but it might be. Because one of the days will be it. And we don't know which one, but one of them is going to be. I mean, one morning is going to be the last morning. Whenever it happens. There will be a last day. We just don't know when it is. So he says, that servant's going to be blessed because he was ready, he was faithful, and he was prepared. And assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour that he's not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there's kind of just the opposite person. Well, Christ isn't going to come for quite a long time. I can do whatever I want. I can live a wicked life. I can live a life of hatred and do evil things to people. You know, he's not going to come for a long time, so I'm safe. Well, you see the folly in this account about that type of thinking. Now, that's not the way to live, he says, because notice what's going to happen. He's going to cut him in two, and he's going to be appointed with the hypocrites. And the Bible says very clearly about where hypocrites are going to end up. In a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All about not being faithful and not realizing that every day can be it. Every day, any day can be it. And there's no way you, when you wake up in the morning, to know, well, this is it. This is the day Christ is coming back. You don't know. So you're just ready every day, and that's just the way you live your life. You just live it, you know, as best you can, doing what you can that's right, and being faithful and treating people right and so forth, so that if He comes today, I'm going to be ready. And boy, does he just makes that so clear in this account. Just watch, be prepared, be ready. And of course, in the next chapter, Lord willing, we'll start next week, He gives some parables about that, about being ready and watchful and you know, realizing that you've got to be prepared. And that's where we'll start next week again, Lord willing, on Sunday morning. Thank you for all your comments today.